Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Hello. The power to create is one of the most significant powers that we have to use in our daily lives. Rollo May, a noted psychologist and author, wrote an entire book on this very subject called The Courage to Create. It happens to be one of my favorites. In it, May talks about how each one of us has this power to create, to manifest, that we can each use in our daily lives to make our lives richer, more fulfilling, and rewarding. Creating is not done in isolation, though. We need inspiration or fuel, to, like passion, in order to realize our dreams and manifest through our creations. This dynamic creative process is what we're talking about today on the show. Today's show concludes, in fact, a three-part series on passion. And when we say passion, we're speaking of that inner fuel, that ambition, the things that motivate us to materialize our action into the world, where we put our heart, our full capacity of our heart behind something in order to make it real. So in part one of our series, we spent time learning ways to help you to connect with your passion so you can be more alive at work and at home. In part two, we talked about the importance of using our emotions by developing emotional intelligence so that we can stay connected to our passion and connected to ourselves as well as others so we can achieve our dreams. Today, we're focused on how we can use this creative power to create. So this creative power of passion to create in a balanced way to help us to achieve purpose. One of my favorites, and might be one of yours too, is Albert Einstein. And he's credited with saying, any intelligent fool can make things bigger and more complex. Any intelligent fool can do that. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. So to make things smaller and less complex, to create with ease. So we're not talking about having courage for the sake of it, you know, like the lion roaring through the forest. No, we're talking about finesse, right? Not being foolish, but we're speaking of this being courageous in a way that serves us, that transforms us, that makes life more simple yet more fulfilling. So we do need to be courageous, though. And it's with how you're being courageous that the conversation we're in. So without courage in the pursuit of our desires, we need passion or it's going to wither. So it takes courage to step past our doubts and move into our creativity from a place of passion. We also need to have trust in ourselves and our dream. We have to believe that what we want is possible. And we must give ourselves the personal freedom we need in order to do what we must do. So we must give ourselves permission to be and express ourselves from that place of courage and passion and our wisdom.
So what I'm hearing you say, Perletta, is that passion is not just an emotion. Passion is when you put more energy into something than is required to do it. It is more than just, you know, that enthusiasm or the excitement. Passion is ambition, and it's materialized into actual action, like you said, and where we just really are, we have our whole heart, our mind, our body and soul is into something that is possible. So I have often seen people full of passion, but they are blinded to the realities of what it really takes to manifest the creation. So part of knowing what something is to learn about what it's not, because other things, other emotions, other, you know, sorts of ambitions can masquerade and look like passion to us. So each of us probably has a little bit of a different definition or, you know, our experience with what passion is. So we need to consider that in order to create, making passion the most important thing, you know, making it more important than purpose can set us up for real disappointment. So a while back, I became involved in a couple of businesses where I literally manufactured what I thought was passion. But it wasn't for the right reasons. So what happened was that it was very short-lived. And I ended up, you know, I just could not sustain that excitement because it really did not align with my purpose. So although I'm really glad I did those businesses and I learned from the experience, but what I found was it was a real challenge to continue because, you know, what if you want to call it passion, I don't think it was really passion. It was just that excitement and that dream of, you know, becoming independent and whatever. It just slowly dwindled.
What I just heard you speak to is that it was short-lived and it wasn't for the right reasons. And when that occurs, that's really an indication that you may not have really been truly connected to your passion, right? Because if you're having to manufacture it, then that's not that innate part of you that exists. And that's what we're really talking about. What sustains each of us is a matter of, you know, personal beliefs and attitudes and preferences. But the most important thing when we're talking about when connecting with passion is you don't have to manufacture it. It's already there. Now, it's going to be different for each person, but it goes to the heart of what motivates you. You don't have to manufacture your motivation. What I would have suggested that you do if I were coaching you, Raj, was to really go within.
Yeah, I wish you had been my coach. You could have saved me a ton of money.
Of course. That's funny. Of going within and connecting more deeply to what was motivating you to do that object, that, you know, activity that you're engaged in. Because when you're really motivated, you thrive in it. It doesn't feel like work. There's nothing to manufacture. So the answer might have been for you, and this is what we're offering to our listeners, is to connect more deeply with yourself, to align it with your purpose. And eventually you got there, and when you got there, you decided that, oh, that wasn't in alignment with your purpose, and you needed to go do something else, which is excellent. Why is that so important, though? Why is connecting passion with purpose so important? Because it helps you to connect with something more meaningful, right? Because if it's not connected, if your passion isn't connected to something that's meaningful for you, it's going to dwindle, like you just spoke about. It's just not going to be sustaining. It just simply won't last. We all know someone, or we might be that person, who has a hard time staying motivated or focused. Sometimes that just happens in life, even if we are connected to passion. Other times, though, that dwindling happens because we get sidetracked. We lose our connection to why we were doing it in the first place, right? We may sometimes have too many things on our plate, and we're spreading ourselves thin. We only have so much of that innate a capacity, and so when we have so many things that we're doing that we spread ourselves thin, we lose that connection to our purpose because of that very reason. So in all likelihood, there may not be anything wrong with the experience that you're having in terms of passion. You just need to realign with yourself so that you can stay motivated.
You know, and is it possible that an imbalanced passion, if there is such a thing, like, you know, all these concepts and these abstractions, they sort of overlap each other. An imbalanced passion, if it's imbalanced, it probably is not the real passion. But I suppose it can be imbalanced. It can get in the way of clear thinking. And this leads us to either overcomplicate or oversimplify the endeavor, setting us up for real trouble ahead. So let's take the example of someone who has a pre-existing passion for something. You know, that may not always be the case, though. Maybe, you know, you're one of these people that has no idea. And it is probably more likely to be that way. The passion may arise after you have started on your journey in what you were initially mildly interested in, or perhaps just drawn to it for some reason. And this is your clue. When you're really drawn to something and you can't explain what it is, you really want to pay attention because there's something deeper there. So I felt called to contribute by helping to heal people and their families from a very young age. And I really didn't know how I was going to do it. I mean, how many children know how to do that until I experienced my own transformation as an adult. And, you know, I got therapy for myself, and it helped me in my journey. So even then, there was not this deep, exciting passion. But what opened up was it was more like a possibility. So this intense passion only came later when I started doing counseling and I saw the dramatic effect it had on my clients. That's when I got really excited, because even when it happened to me, I still didn't believe that I could recreate it and, you know, that other people could also have this amazing experience. Now, I got so excited because I found something that actually healed people. Now, that's what I felt was worth getting passionate about. So it's about having that success. Up to that point, it was interesting, it was exciting, it was fulfilling, but it wasn't what I would call passion. If it hadn't worked, I probably would have moved on. Like if 0% of my clients got any benefit, I would have been like, oh, well, I'm just wasting my time here. So to me, having success in your path, it just helps you. It helps lead you to your passion.
And that's great news for a whole host of reasons. But one of the things that you're speaking to, Raj, is that passion is innate in each one of us, and we're not always connected to it, right? Sometimes we stumble upon it. I was working with a client recently, and she said, you know, she didn't really feel passionate about anything. And as we were processing that, she just couldn't access anything within herself. And she lost the trust that she actually felt passion. Sometimes we walk around in life and we have so many things we're doing. And one of our persistent topics of conversation is this busy life we lead. It's very challenging to be connected to your true nature, which is, as in the quote that I mentioned earlier with Albert Einstein, you know, sometimes it's subtle. It's not like this roaring lion, as I mentioned. Sometimes it's really subtle, and to connect with it, we need to be still and quiet and reflective. And when we're running around, multitasking, doing what we should do, caring for others, you know, leading these quote-unquote successful lives in the world, we're not always connected to the more subtle pieces of ourselves that really speak to what brings us joy. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist in every person. And there's nothing that you have to do necessarily to get it. There's only to be silent and to connect more deeply with yourself, right? That's the only thing we have to do is quite often to bring us peace of mind. And it's learning how to connect with it and bring it forth in a healthy and balanced way that can be, for some people, the challenge. So here's a reflection that I want you to consider, and that is, remember a time when you were a child waking up on a morning of your birthday. For many of us, birthdays were a very exciting time when we were children. You stretched and yawned and got out of bed, and at first you didn't really realize that it was your birthday, and then suddenly it dawned on you like, it's my birthday! Yay! Right, well, and when you got to that awareness, you were suddenly transformed. It was like today, it's a different day. There's something special. And then this wave of excitement and joyful anticipation washes over you because it was something new. So you were anticipating something, right? The day was going to be amazing. You just knew it. You were expecting these surprises and fun and celebration. You felt fully alive in that moment. Nothing different happened except your awareness. Right, you threw back the covers and you raced down the stairs to greet the day. Did you have an experience of that when you were a child, Raj?
Yeah, I have the experience of that now when it's my birthday.
Oh, good for you. Well, this is how it feels, right, to greet the day with enthusiasm and passion. Right, doesn't have to be this any expectation of what passion looks like. It's more of that enthusiasm and how you greet your day and the tasks that you're doing in life and who you're being. And we're all full of that at any point. It's just connecting with that aspect of ourselves. So remember that if you're walking through a day and you're not necessarily feeling passion, connect with something that inspired you to have that awe and excitement and joyful anticipation.
I love that. I love that reflection. Yes. You know, it's so true, you know, how we wake up in the morning and how we even get out of bed. I mean, that can really give us a huge clue on whether we are living from a passionate place or we're not. Maybe you're familiar with people who start, you know, with a really fierce passion, like Perletta says, you know, like that lion roaring. You know, they're passionate about something and they put everything into it, including a lot of money in many cases. And, you know, they often don't know when to stop pushing and instead just allow. We need to be cognizant of the pre-existing passion situation because it can tend to make people push and push very hard trying to make it happen against all odds. Like I said, it's something else. This is totally something else masquerading as passion. It, you know, it can make one think it's all about them, that they have the power to make it happen by sheer force of will, you know. They're going to prove how strong they are. They become driven by their passion, and they totally disregard, you know, the risk involved and possible adverse consequences. And then, of course, there's probably going to be a strong likelihood of failure because you're not really dealing with reality. And one of the things I love what you're saying, Perletta, is that it is innate. And that goes right along with, you know, what we're saying on this show. Each one of us is complete. Everything is inside of us. Everything is inside of us when you were just a little egg or a little sperm, whatever, everything was inside of you, you know, even after that, you've always been whole and complete. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we are whole and complete. So, of course, our passion has to be inside of us. Obviously, you know, some of these people that are just sort of, you know, pounding their way through, they do make it, but oftentimes they don't. I mean, just look at the businesses, you know, so many new businesses open. So many new businesses open every day. 95% of them fail. And this is what I'm talking about. These people also were passionate. If you watch American Idol, I bet you all of those people, I don't personally watch it that much, but I've heard a lot about it. You know, all of the people that come on there are passionate. They're passionate about it. But what the differentiation of who's going to keep on going, who's real passionate is whether they win or lose. That's not going to determine whether they're going to quit or not. They're going to keep on going because this is coming from inside of them. You know, and then the other thing about pushing too hard is when we're pushing so hard, we miss what is really calling us because we're just too fixated on this, you know, creating something that what we think is passion.
It's interesting that you say that, Raj, because you hit a nerve over here. I tend to be a pusher. I plow through. That's one of my tendencies, and I'd like to think I live a life full of passion, or a passion-filled life, I should say that way. And at the same time, what I'm noticing is what you're speaking to, and that is, it doesn't have to be so hard, right? That's one of the life lessons. You know, what Einstein spoke about, it doesn't have to be hard. And sometimes we make things hard because we're all on this quest to be happy, and sometimes we get happiness and success jumbled up, and we think that in order to be successful, we've got to work hard. We're indoctrinated into that philosophy in this country. And hard working means, on some level, that it doesn't matter if you feel good about it in terms of the passion, and you wake up with joy and excitement. Actually, what matters is the bottom line, and that's not true. What matters is what you say matters, because you have the power to create, and what we're talking about is the courage to create from whatever your internal dynamic says. So here's something that we are suggesting. First, that you allow yourself to be inspired, whatever inspires you, right? Allow yourself to be inspired and have that childlike awe that we spoke about. And in order for that to happen, it really takes for you to go within and to focus on identifying your own inner strengths and interests. Come to know what makes you feel most alive. I took a walk yesterday in nature. It's one of the quickest ways that helps me to feel most alive. And I remember I was so excited to jump in puddles of water. As a child, I was not allowed to get dirty and to jump. And I'm like 46. And I still, when I have some boots on, some rubber boots, and I'm outside, I am jumping in every puddle I can find. That helps me to feel
alive. Oh, my God, that's so fun. I love that. I know. I was walking in the rain yesterday. You know, I'm just like, I love puddles. I love rain.
I'd like to think I was a really fun mom, because I could not do that. I allowed my children to do it. We would sit and play in the mud, and I'd let them get. Yeah, I'd let that wash over them. And so, but that's it for me. It's going to be different for every person. The most important thing is that you allow yourself time to learn about who you are. And there are a whole host of things you can do to discover and connect with that inner joy and the things that motivate you. You know, praying, reflecting, contemplation, writing in a journal, going in nature. Those are all things that you can do to connect with your passion and joy that has nothing to do with success in the outside world. Not saying that that doesn't have its place. But what motivates you, what inspires you, may actually not have anything to do with that. The second thing is to be open and allow yourself time to be playful. And what, according to Stuart Brown in a book he wrote entitled Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul, Stuart Brown said, play stimulates nerve growth in the portions of the brain that processes emotions and executive functions. And it stimulates the imagination and curiosity in children. And it's also used to solve problems. That's why, I don't know if you watch children play or not, but if you do, it's wonderful to experience them. And in fact, you can experience joy through them, because they're so completely in it in the moment. And they allow themselves to just be. And they process. You see the processing, like particularly when there's glee or excitement, because they show it. They're full of it, right? So the components of playing are the same as in learning, that when we're curious, when we're open to discovering, when we see something as novel, there's novelty in it for the first time, we allow ourselves to have that amazement. And so we also may have risk-taking and trial and error, games and social learning. All of those things are aspects of being playful that we can use to connect more deeply with ourselves. And allowing ourselves to be playful. Thirdly, place yourself in situations where you are doing the things that stretch your talents and your strengths. Raj, in the example you gave earlier, you talked about you were doing something that helped people, and in the process of doing it, you connected more deeply with your passion. That's the example. Sometimes we think we got to get ready to do something, right? We got to prepare. We got to go get an education. We need to get experience, and then, well, that's true. There's nothing wrong with that model, and when we put ourselves in the position that we're longing for, we may volunteer our time, we may mentor someone or agree to coach someone, whatever that thing is, we give ourselves an opportunity to be what we're longing for. And when we do that, we can experience in those moments how it feels, and it may connect us more deeply with our passion in the way that you described. Sometimes when we do things because we're accustomed to doing it, not because we really find joy in it. And so the purpose of placing yourselves in situations outside of a comfort zone is really to be in the inquiry of, am I really finding joy in that thing, or is there something else? And to be on the journey, right, to discovering what those
Perlana,
things are.
Perlana, what you just said is key, you know, finding that place outside of your comfort zone. I think that's really important here. Because, you know, we can get so comfortable with however our life is going, right? But to continuously find that place right outside of our comfort zone.
And then the last I wanted to mention is this creating an inner dialogue and that supports your being in tune with yourself and your passions. Sometimes we have an inner dialogue that's not necessarily supportive because, you know, we may be afraid or we may not know, we may be in doubt. So creating an inner dialogue and surrounding yourself with people that encourage you to be more engaged in things that you're passionate about or encourage you to be in discovery mode of connecting with that inner sense that's already there is really important. Sometimes people, and we ourselves can be naysayers, right? We can be in doubt. Mm-hmm. And when we create doubt, we create opposition. So it's important that we recognize that and we redesign our inner dialogue and sometimes our relationships so that we have people in our space that encourage and support us. And how do you know when you're in a relationship with someone or relationship with yourself that's not supportive, Raj?
Well, it's definitely, it doesn't feel good. That's the first thing. I mean, there's something out of alignment inside of me, okay, when I know that I'm having self-sabotaging dialogue with myself. And it just, you know, it doesn't align with my passion and my purpose. It's like, it's not, it doesn't serve me at all. That's how I know. It doesn't feel good.
Right.
So that's the biggest key for me. But, you know, like, so what you're speaking to, Perletta, is it's rather than passion just being like this one emotion of excitement or whatever, it's like a system. It's a whole system, although it's innate, but the bringing it out. So it's like a process. It's something that's, you know, they're like steps, and we have to avoid the pitfalls. So how do we know that we're really in our passion? And I view it as a quieter, it's a gentle process, and it attracts it rather than it, you know, pushes. It's not so hot and fiery like we would think when we think of the word passion. It's about power, not force. In my humble opinion, it closely resembles love. Love attracts. Passion can burn and perhaps even destroy if it is not balanced with purpose and love. Passion may even come from a somewhat dark place, like a strong need to prove oneself as a way to get the approval one never got as a child, you know, or the need to prove to everyone around you and more importantly to yourself that you can make it or that you are really okay. Some people do have a pre-existing passion or a strong calling early in life. That's, you know, understandable. But for most of us, passion emerges slowly over time as a result of the fulfillment and satisfaction it brings once we start moving in a certain direction.
Mm. Oh, that's a bummer, Raj, because I love the idea that passion is hot and sexy. I'm kidding. Passion is hot and sexy.
That's for the next show, okay?
You have the courage to create. So if passion is hot and sexy for you, I'd say, you know, rock on. That's fabulous. The most important thing that we're talking to is it's not the same thing for everyone. And it doesn't have to be that way. Even if it's not hot and sexy, it can still be passion because it's those subtle aspects of who we are. The most, you know, the most important thing we want you to take away with from the show today is that you are passionate. It's just connecting with it, right? When we're living from the center of who we are, loving who we are being, and doing what we love, we thrive, and we're living from the place of passion. If you want more, there's more for you in exploring that. So we hope you've enjoyed this conversation. I know we have on passion today. Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Next week we're talking about love, and it's something we all long for more of, romantic love, sexual love, emotional love, familial love, self-love. and the absence of love in our lives. So between now and then, if you'd like to email us at pearlrajradio@gmail.com. Between now and then, make sure you live life powerfully.